18 minutes after the hour 4, and that was a beautiful song from Saint Cecilia, Ma Cecilia of Our Lady of Africa. But Hakina Haunda. I wonder what that means in, okay, but anyway, we won't get into that. And, as stated at the beginning of the show, today we're going to be delving in a subject that to some extent is very controversial. Eh? We're going to be talking about curses, we're going to be unpacking, and we're going to be trying to understand what are curses. I've noticed in my life and in my ministry as a priest that, I have really preached about curses myself as a priest, and I've really had actually, I've not even heard any priests preach about curses from the pulpit. And it's really got me wondering, why is it that I myself cannot preach about them, I cannot talk about them, and why is it most of my peers cannot talk about generational curses and curses from the pulpit? And we won't get into that now, but this answer to some extent somehow seems very obvious. Joining me in studio right now is Father Joseph Wilson, who is going to help us understand what curses are and how we can navigate that jungle. Father Joseph, good afternoon and welcome.
Afternoon, Baba Ndabanenge.
Sawubona,
Baba. Yeah.
Good to have you, Father. It's been a while, hey?
Yeah. You've been enjoying yourself, you see.
No, not at all. I'll tell you off air where I've been. It's been work. Yeah. Father Joseph, from the moment I heard that we're going to be diving into this subject, I was very, very, very interested, because I thought to myself, okay, this is something that we don't talk about. Mm-hmm. And I'd like us to start from that premises to say, why do we think we in the Catholic Church and we as priests are really, really afraid? It's like it's just one of those areas where we don't go there.
Yeah.
Why?
You're absolutely right. You know, when parishioners come to priests, they preface their remarks to the priest by saying, Father, I know we shouldn't believe in curses. Mm-hmm. And my response to that is, who told you shouldn't believe in curses? Where did you get that from? And then I say, well, do you think Jesus believed in curses? Paul, Peter, the New Testament. And if you look carefully at the texts, both of the Old Testament and of the New Testament, you will see that curses are actually very prevalent. In fact, the last word of the Old Testament from the book of Malachi said, I will draw the hearts of fathers towards their sons and the hearts of sons towards their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a curse. Mm. So it is very, very prevalent throughout the scriptures. Mm-hmm. And we are reluctant to speak about it, because I think as priests we sense it might be touching into superstition or something like that. That's what I feel.
Mm. Do you also think that there is also a functional and an economical side to it? Because the moment I start talking about those things, it might affect me as a parish priest.
That's another thing. Some people say, you know, if I actually speak about it, I'm attracting the thing to come. Mm-hmm. You know, somehow if I don't speak about this elephant in the room, then it won't really affect me.
But nevertheless, it doesn't negate the fact that these things are a reality. And that is what we are going to be chatting about this afternoon. And I would like to start by asking you, what is a generational curse, Baba Joseph?
Okay. Well, maybe we could even step back before generational. What is a curse?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll say what it is not. It's not something that you can actually see. It's not scientific, verifiable, not scientifically verifiable. It won't be picked up on an X-ray.
Mm-hmm.
Yet it is a reality. And I suppose the best place is always to start with is in the scripture. And people might be very, very surprised to hear that God also curses. I'm not sure if
knew
that.
It's in the opening
pages of scripture. It's in chapter 3,
okay.
Where after the fall, God curses the serpent. He said in verse 14, be accursed above all the cattle and all the beasts. Mm-hmm. And then in verse 17, he says, because of the sin, the land itself will, the soil itself will be cursed. Mm-hmm. And a man will earn his bread by the sweat. In other words, the soil will bring up weeds and man will be battling with that.
Yeah.
And then in chapter 4, we have the murder of Abel by his brother Cain.
Yeah.
And then we have the judgment again by God in chapter 4, verse 11, where he says, now be accursed and driven from the ground that has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood at your hand. So your question, Baba, is, well, what is a curse? It is something that, it's easy to understand it, maybe difficult to define it, but it is something like, we have to struggle. It's something that repeats itself in a pattern. It's something that, just like the soil brings forth, weeds and all of this in our lives. We may be battling with certain things that recur from one generation to the next.
But what we seem to be establishing now is this kind of phenomena of suffering, pain, and struggle, or a lack, has a scriptural basis. And we seem to be actually finding out as we read scripture right now to actually say, at some point, as we found in Genesis right now, God did curse man at the fall.
That's right. But we mustn't see God as, you know, like a tribal God. I curse you. You do wrong. I curse you.
Yeah.
Actually, that's not it. That would make God out to be no better than, you know, a tribal
judge. But what does he do to the snake then?
It's a judgment on the powers of darkness which have come against the kingdom of God. It's directly against, in other words, I think for the listeners listening, if you want to really know what's going on, turn to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28.
Okay.
Because in that book, it's quite a long chapter, but it speaks about the blessings of following God and the curses when we step away from following the Lord.
Which brings me now, Father, to my next question, which is, why does one come under a curse, or even what we may call a generational curse?
I would believe that it happens when we step away from the provisions of God's blessing.
You know, and how do we do that?
Well, think about this. Think of it like this. Think of a man with an umbrella. Let's try and make it very visual and very simple. And under the umbrella, you have the father, the mother, and the children. And they're, in future generations, actually, they're carrying in their loins. Now, as long as we are under that umbrella, which we would call the provision of God's blessings, God blesses us naturally. It's his default position to bless us, not to curse us. But when, let's say the father steps out from underneath that umbrella and he says, okay, I recognize your blessings, Lord, but I need to get help from another source. He is actually stepping away from blessing. Not alone that, but he's opening his family to now be injured. Think of it like this. Think of it like the house. You're in your house with your children, father, mother, and you open the front door and a whole pile of sewage starts pouring into the house. You think you're getting a blessing out there, but you've opened a door and you've let in a whole lot of stuff that's not only going to affect you, but also your children and future generations.
So it's like, to some extent, people find themselves under these curses two ways. One, they find it because it has run under their family, right? And some literally go and open the door And that door somehow then, as the water gushes out, it not only wets them, but also wets those who are behind them and in the room with them.
That's right. But it's not just water, it's filth.
And dirt. Okay.
You know, if it was water, we would obviously welcome it in Africa. But mm-hmm. We're letting in not just water, we're letting in sewage.
Mm-hmm.
We're letting in negativity. We're letting in, we are bartering our family for future generations to this rubbish that we've opened to.
Okay. Now then, when I go to the doctor, there are signs and symptoms that I present. What are the signs and symptoms that one can look out for to check, to say, you know, maybe I do have, I'm under this attack, or maybe I'm not, or it could be.
Yeah.
What are some of the signs?
Well,
and what should one look out for?
I think you remember I mentioned in the previous program that I was cursed myself.
Okay.
And I didn't know I was cursed. I was cursed through witchcraft, through Sijiso, well, not actually Sijiso, but through touching of a spiritually contaminated item.
Okay.
I don't want to go into it. But up until then, I did not believe in it.
Mm-hmm.
I had a typical
Western background.
Western view that if you believe in it, you give it power.
Indeed.
And if you forget about it, it will never bother you, and you won't bother it, and you'll... So... they are silly people who are preoccupied with it, who believe in it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it wasn't until it bit my behind that I found out this is a reality. So you're asking, how will you determine it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I went to doctors. A curse can affect you in three main areas. It can affect your health, your wealth, or your relationships.
Okay,
let's
repeat that.
Yeah.
A curse can affect
your health,
your wealth,
or your relationships.
Okay.
And and if somebody really wants to do harm to you, they will curse you in all three areas. By the way, for the listeners out there, the Catechism of the Catholic Church believes in cursing. It's got two numbers that deals with it. I don't have them offhand, but it says it is particularly despicable when one calls down evil on another person. And it's also running throughout the Psalms, which we pray every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember your colleague, Father Albert Nolan, when he was giving talks on Scripture, he was saying that the Church is actually omitted in the Divine Office references to those cursing psalms where David or others say, you know,
bash their heads against
the
stone.
That's right. You know, really give them a good hiding in that.
It's 29 minutes before the hour 5. If you've just tuned in, it is Radio Veritas 576 AM. It's that station that gives you the good news. And today we're giving you good music for a change. And it's a Spirit Wednesday. I'm joined in studio by Father Joseph Wilson, and we're unpacking curses. Do not touch that dial. Stuart Townsend with Let Your Living Water Flow Upon Me. It brings us exactly 26 minutes before the hour 5, and it is Radio Veritas 576 AM. If you've just tuned in, thank you very much for joining us, and it's a Spirit Wednesday. I'm joined in studio by Father Joseph Wilson, and we are unpacking and trying to understand curses and generational curses. And if you're stuck in traffic, take it easy and please buckle up and respect other road users. Now, before the break, Father Joseph, we're talking, I was actually trying to find out what are some of the signs and symptoms of people that could be under a spell, or people that could be cursed, or people that could be suffering from such oppression. And the example that came to mind when we were off air was where in some families where you have people that just don't get married, you know. Then, or you have a generation where they do get married, then they come back from their marriages, if I may say so. Or they either leave their marriages or they're left in their marriages. So, I was actually thinking maybe we'll go into detail to say, do we need to look for a pattern? There are people who don't get married, there are people who have the spirit of, say, alcoholism. And you know, we try all we can do, or addiction and all it can. We try and put them in rehabs, we try and do the 12 steps with them, and we realize that, hell, this thing is not working at all. Mm-hmm. Then some people, there are just so many examples I can give to you.
Mm, yeah. Correct. Just to maybe go back to the earlier question, I don't think we answered it, and your question now is very, very pertinent and good.
Mm-hmm.
When I turned up at the hospital and they did all of these x-rays, one of them being a nuclear scan, which you inhale copious amounts of radioactivity, and then they scan you a centimeter by centimeter.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of that, you won't see a curse, because it is not something physiological, it's something spiritual or demonic. And you were asking, Father Brian, about what are the symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the symptoms can vary. For example, in my case, the symptoms were both physical and psychological.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I went to the doctor...
So it hit your health.
That's right. Mm-hmm. The doctor would try to heal the physical symptoms. Mm-hmm. The psychologist tried to heal
the mental,
the psychological disorders, because I was having increased anxiety, depression, and all of this. And of course, they want to find out the root of it, but they couldn't find out what it was. So when you don't find out what the root is, you tend to treat the symptoms only.
So at what point then do we say, you know, hang on, this is no longer a physiological thing? So in your case where you were sick and you're going to the doctors and all that kind of thing, and at what point then do you say, okay, fine, we've tried the psychologist, we've also tried the proper doctor, the physician. At what point do you say, hang on, maybe let's look at alternative medicine, if I may call it that?
Yeah, well, I did that also. I went to, what do you call these, guys with the little tiny white pills. That didn't work either. And it can happen that the person, it never dawns on them that mm-hmm. there is a power over them. They're mm-hmm. just, they just think, I'm sick, I'm depressed, that's mm-hmm. the way life is, I'm going to go through life like that,
this
never
way,
going to get better.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
I was thinking of the other one where people can't, give, that can't fall pregnant. Or people are infertile,
exactly right.
You know, either be they male or female, and you realize when you trace back, it's in their family.
That's right. And so, how do you know a curse is operating? Because mm-hmm. you can't see it, you can't pick it up on a microscope.
Yeah.
How do you know that there's one there?
Mm-hmm.
The Danish philosopher Soren Kierkegaard said that we live life forward, but we understand it backwards.
Indeed.
We look back. And the main way you know a curse is operative is through a pattern.
Okay.
And you've been identifying it this yeah. afternoon, Father Brian.
Yeah.
When you see the same pattern happening either in your own life personally
mm-hmm.
or in your family, as you gave the example of mm-hmm. daughters, beautiful daughters, but none of them get married.
Oh, who are infertile.
That's right. And they're longing for children and they just can't fall pregnant. Mm.
Oh, they get people to date them, but it doesn't end up at the altar.
That's right.
Mm.
So there you see a pattern in your family and it is generational. So why we call it a generational curse is because the same thing is happening down the generations
mm.
and the same challenges and blockages. And it tends to continue. Now, a number of years back, there was an Anglican priest. He began in the army.
Okay.
He wrote a book called Generational Healing.
All right.
His name was Kenneth MacAul. And he was the pioneer in this area. And very, very simply, he said, we're not really getting very far in trying to heal the individual. So let's look at the family and try and heal the family. And so the way he did it was through having a Eucharist or a Mass. Now he's Anglican, so it would be an Anglican Mass. And he found that it actually began to heal families.
Mm. We will come to how we can break those curses, if at all they are breakable. But I'm thinking of somebody who's listening right now and they're saying, hang on, I don't have this in my generation. Maybe in my mother's side, it has not happened. Or maybe even at my paternal side, it has not happened. But I still think there is a pattern that is happening in my life, which is obviously affecting either my wealth and my health and my relationship. What steps can they take to sort of say, you know what, let me try and consult to see, perhaps I'm also under this attack or pressed?
Yeah. Well, you know, there can be the natural ups and downs of life, you know, with us all. But the pattern would have to be pronounced. It would have to be, you know, not in small letters. It would generally be in bold letters, headline letters. This is repeating.
And for instance, let's give an example of that.
For example, take the example you've just given now, was repeated miscarriages.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. That's a very common one.
Why is a woman who's taking care of her baby, taking care of her pregnancy, eating well, not smoking, why does she lose a child every time she gets pregnant? And there is a clear pattern. That's in bold headlines. You know, talking about wealth, you have it in the prophet Haggai, chapter 1, verse 6, where people are putting their finances into a purse or a wallet riddled with holes.
Indeed.
In other words, Father and I hear it every time we hear parishioners saying, Father, I just don't know where my money goes. I'm careful with it. I'm responsible with it. I'm not drinking it. I'm not jolling. And yet at the end of the month, I don't know where my money has gone to.
Okay. All right. No, that makes sense. But I would like us to get into some of the activities that I'm going to call some of the behaviors and activities that I will call window opening behaviors. Mm-hmm. Those activities and actions and possibly even attitudes that actually open the door and say, come in, curses, and sit in my lounge and have a home in me. What are some of those? Take us through some of those. Some of them could be even regarded as sin. Some are not sin. But let us go through some of those things that actually open the door for this monster.
Yeah. Again, we have scripture to help us here. We can look at Exodus chapter 20, where God gives us the commandments, the ten words. In one of it, it says, "You will not make any the graven image or likeness of anything in the heavens above, and you will not bow down to them." And it says then, "For I, the Lord, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon their children unto the third and fourth generation who hate me." So what is one of the openings here? It would be actually idolatry. Idolatry in a family would dispose the visitation of the iniquity on the children. And you could say, well, this is very, very unfair. Why should the children pay for the sins of the fathers?
But even before we go to the children who are paying for the sins, for the dirt of their parents, I would like us to go back to adultery and unpack adultery. What exactly, because in the past, adultery was to go before an image and, you know, and maybe put all your trust and hope in that. But that's a narrow understanding of adultery.
Yeah.
I would like you to broaden that understanding of what adultery could be and what adultery is in the broad sense, because it is one of those things that also opens that door we're talking about this afternoon.
Yeah. The Old Testament speaks a lot about idolatry, and in fact that was one of the reasons for the exile of the people. It was one of the primary reasons why the people were sent up to Babylon, because they were But we have a kind of a narrow view of an idol as a piece of wood you hammer into your wall and you bow down to it and you say, this will bring me good luck.
No.
But very, very simply for the listeners, idolatry or an idol is anything that you would put before God.
Okay.
It could be your fame. It could be a girlfriend. It
your
could
power.
Be your power. It could be your money.
Success.
It could be your wealth. That becomes idolatry.
So it's anything that becomes higher and important than God.
That's right. You it serves you. You serve it.
So the psalmist says, some trust in princes, some trust in their horses. And he goes on to say, but I trust in my God and in my maker.
Yeah.
So the idol in this case is no longer that wooden image that is on your wall, or it's no longer that thing that you've created, the little shrine you've created in your backyard. The idol here is that thing that has become the center of your life and your existence.
Exactly right.
So it could be money. It could be money, actually.
It captures your heart.
Captures and enslaves you to some
That's
extent.
That's correct. And scripture also says that you become like that which you worship.
Okay. So this afternoon we are asking you, Mlaleli, do you have an idol in your life? It doesn't have to be a wooden coven that is somewhere in your bedroom or wherever, but it could be a habit. It could be an activity. Or it could be your success. It could be your money. It could be your contacts. People make their contacts their idols. And so if you do have that idol, what we're saying this afternoon, that could be also an opportunity of allowing the dirt to come into your family and into yourself. What is the next one, Father?
Okay, it would be anything that steps out from under the provision of God mentioned in Deuteronomy 28. Mm-hmm. And that would be where we seek life or blessings away from God. That will invite stuff into our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I could illustrate it by what happened with my own mom.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to preface it by saying that I love her to bits. She's passed on now. But when she was a young girl in Ireland in the 1940s, 30s and 40s, I'll make it very, very quickly. She began consulting. She consulted a medium.
Mm-hmm.
And the medium told her, yes, you're going to get married. You're going to have kids. Your husband is going to be nice. And then he closed her hands. Mm-hmm. She did a palm reading.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom made the greatest mistake of her life. She asked the palm reader,
mm-hmm.
why did you close my hands?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, because you're going to get sick.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have an operation. You're going to undergo an operation and you're going to get sick. And that's the end.
Mm-hmm.
So that happened to her when she was in her 20s.
Mm-hmm.
From then on, it instilled a great deal of fear in her life. Now, when she got married and had the children, guess what? That fear is transferred
mm-hmm.
to the next generation.
Okay.
And so the opening of the parent also opens for
the fruit of the womb.
That's right.
Okay. So we are looking at even activities such as consulting then, Father, because you're bringing something that is very important. And I come from a culture, Father, where as black people, we go to church on a Sunday.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm glad even the Irish people do that. People go to church and sing hallelujah on a Saturday and a Sunday. But when life gets tough, they seem to fall on certain things.
Mm.
And hence you find people then coming out of very strange places at very strange times. So they are seeing people that are consulting, seeing people that can solve their problems and all those kind of things. I would like you to talk to that. It doesn't have to be traditional. Some people are even so-called religious prophets, because I even have a cousin of mine who's been actually going to a religious prophet, you know.
Mm. Yeah. Well, in terms of the scriptures, there is no white magic and black magic. There's no in the spectrum, like in the spectrum between the innocent, I call it innocent consultation of my mom.
Yeah.
And the other end of the spectrum, which is deep, deep, deep into the occult,
mm-hmm.
then the main point is this. Divination of all kind is proscribed, is not allowed by scripture.
Mm-hmm.
It will not bring the blessings.
Mm-hmm.
It will put us outside.
Mm-hmm.
So you were saying, well, what kind of things? Also, consulting is one of those things, and it's mentioned frequently in scripture. I don't want to emphasize it out of proportion, like this is the only thing.
Yeah.
But it does, in fact, open doors, as I'm well aware in my own family.
Mm.
And it's not an African thing.
Okay, thank you very much.
I've
I'm really expressing my prejudice. I've never thought that it happens in the other
communities. You find witchcraft in every culture.
Okay.
You find consulting in every culture. And in fact, as Christianity is going down in Europe,
mm-hmm.
you have the rise of all kinds of strange beliefs,
mm-hmm.
pagan practices,
yeah.
and going back to it's kind of headlined by the word New Age.
Uh-huh.
So, we mustn't think that, you know, it is the sin of Africa. No, it was in scripture.
Okay.
In the book of, Ezekiel chapter 8-10,
mm.
you see even the Jewish people involved in it. They're doing despicable things even in the temple of Yahweh.
Now, Father, we're speaking from the person that is affected by the curse. Now, I would like to speak from the person that gives the curse.
Yeah.
Because I know of people who've been affected, but I know of people who've also cursed other people, Father. Yeah. And that is also opening up because
Absolutely.
Yourself to a lot of things, because that harm that you're wishing upon other people, that evil and that struggle and that pain, eventually, I'm convinced, does make its way back to the sender.
Absolutely right, Father Brian. Think of it like this. If we could make it very, very simple.
Mm-hmm.
When a person curses, two people are negatively impacted. When a person blesses, two people are positively impacted.
Mm-hmm.
We think that if I curse somebody, he'll get the evil and I'll get the blessing. In fact, that's not what happens.
Mm-hmm.
The sender of the curse also comes under the curse.
Okay.
It's not just the one sent. The one sent that it is sent to will experience it in a very, very negative way.
Mm-hmm.
But the sender also is, in fact, opening himself to demonization through his cursing. That's why scripture says, bless, never curse, never curse. Even though when we're hurt, there's something urging in us to, hey, I want to curse that. But the scripture says don't do it.
Curse. So the curses we're talking about are those things that are sent. Né? But also it can be from our words. You know, I've heard of people who curse people and say, you know what? You will never be happy in your life.
That's absolutely right. That's in Proverbs 18, I think.
But what I hear you say now this afternoon is, and what you were saying is, that unhappiness that I'm wishing on my neighbor and on my brother and on my sister is the same unhappiness that I'm also wishing on myself.
Exactly right.
And so I'm also shooting myself. Unfortunately, when I shoot, I'm shooting myself.
Exactly right. And the converse is also true.
Okay.
According to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, it says that the blessing you send out to a person is the blessing you will inherit yourself.
Uh-huh.
So you have the choice. Do you want to say you'll get momentary satisfaction?
Mm-hmm.
When you curse somebody,
mm-hmm.
but it's only for a moment. It's like drinking seawater.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you a moment, but then the poison starts coming. but blessings flow when you bless.
Wow. If you've just tuned in, it is a Spirit Wednesday on Radio Veritas 576 AM, and it's myself, Father Brian, a.k.a. Ndavaningi. I'm joined in studio by Father Joseph Wilson. We're trying to understand and unpack curses, generational curses. If you've just tuned in, do not touch the dial. Take it easy on the roads, buckle up, and please respect other road users. Do not touch.